Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aditya Birla Capital Limited FY19 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Srinivasan, Chief Executive, Aditya Birla Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining this call on the full-year results for Aditya Birla Capital and its various subsidiaries. I want to start with slide three. I presume all of you have a copy of the deck, which has been uploaded on our website. I'm going to be referring to that and various pages on that deck, so if you can just keep up with me, it will help you follow where I'm referring. So I want to start with slide three, which has the main highlights for the last fiscal year, FY19. Our consolidated PAT at an aggregate level grew by 26% year-on-year. Our lending book, which includes our NBFC and our housing finance company, crossed 63,000 crores of book size, with our SME and retail mix at just under 60% at 59%. As you know, this is an area of focus for us, and that's what we've been driving. Third, our NBFC NIM expanded 33 basis points year-on-year to 4.9%. This is significant given the increase in cost that the entire industry has faced during the course of last year. Fourth, our lending business profit before tax. Again, this lending business includes both our NBFC and housing finance company. Our profit before tax grew by 32% year-on-year. Last year was a year where liquidity definitely got tight in the second half of the year, and that's why we want to signal we managed to raise over 11,000 crores of long-term borrowings in the second half of FY19 between our NBFC and our housing finance company. Coming to the right-hand side of page three, our housing finance profit before tax crossed 100 crores for the first time. This is a relatively young business, and I think has hit profitability, and I think reasonable profitability very quickly. Our AMC recorded its highest-ever profitability with profit before tax to AUM at 26 basis points for the year. This is the highest we've had in our AMC. Life insurance had a very strong year. Life insurance individual FYP grew by 60% year-on-year, resulting in a market share expansion of 125 basis points. Not only was top-line growth strong, but there was a very strong value creation in life insurance, with net VNB at 9.5% and return on EV of 15%. And finally, health insurance, which is again one of our newest and youngest businesses, saw very strong growth with GWP at 500 crores, growing almost twice over the previous year. I'll move now to slide four. Slide four shows the way we look at our business from a consumer perspective, which is we basically at Aditya Birla Capital meet the protecting, investing, and financing needs of our customers, and all our businesses basically fall under these three buckets. So if you look at our protecting business, which includes the premium for our life and health insurance business, total premium for the year crossed 8,000 crores, 30% up from the previous year. If you look at investing, which is here largely the mutual fund assets that we have, total assets under management grew by 6% year-on-year. And our financing book, which is our NBFC and housing finance company, the total book size grew by 23% year-on-year. On the right-hand side of slide four, if you look at our consolidated numbers, consolidated revenue grew by 29% to 16,570 crores, and consolidated PAT grew by 26% to 871 crores for the year. Slide five will give you the reconciliation. This is our first year of Ind AS, as you might be aware. So since we moved from Ind AS to GAAP, I just thought it would be useful to give you an equivalent number from a GAAP perspective. So while our Ind AS number for the year is 871 crores, the PAT after minority interest as per GAAP would have been 975 crores. So about 11% lower our profitability in Ind AS than it would have been under GAAP. I think this is important given not everybody is on an Ind AS platform as of today. So it just makes sense to compare the numbers and look at where our numbers would have been had we been on GAAP. Slide 6 is an important slide, and I want to spend a little bit of time on this. Slide 6 is really the story that we've been sharing with various investors and analysts from the time we got listed back in 2017. And what this slide does is tell you what we've been indicating and guiding to as the value drivers of each business, how those have moved, and what the result has been on different financial outcomes of the businesses in Aditya Birla Capital. So if I start from the left-hand side, our NBFC, We've always indicated that retail and SME are an area of focus. We expect to grow faster in this segment than in any other segment that we operate in. Back in 2017, retail and SME was about 43% of our book. At the end of FY19, that's grown to 50%. As a result of that, you've seen our NIM expanding from 4.4% to 4.9%. And that increase in NIM is translated to almost a 50% growth in profit before tax between FY17 and FY19. We continue to expect retail and SME to increase in terms of our mix. This year, we've grown our mix, the retail SME mix, by about 3% in the NBFC. We expect next year as well, that is in FY20, SME and retail to add another 3 to 5% in the overall mix of the NBFC book. That will have its impact on NIM, and that will then slow down in terms of profitability. In our housing finance book, given we were a young company, our focus was really on building profitable scale, and we said that we would operate in the self-employed segment, which is underpenetrated and offers a much larger opportunity for newer players such as ourselves, both in terms of size and in terms of profitability. As you see from this column, our lending book has grown from about 4,000 crores in FY17 to 11,500 crores in FY19, so just under 3 times growth in terms of our lending book. That increase in lending book has led to economies of scale, which have brought down our cost-income ratio from over 100% in FY17 to 61% in FY19. And that reduction in cost-income ratio has led to our ROE turning from a negative 4.6% in FY17 to a positive 7% in FY19. Again, we expect our growth to continue to be attractive given the base and the size of the opportunity that we have. And as we grow our book and maintain the quality of the book that we have, we expect that to flow through both in terms of cost-income ratio as well as in terms of ROE. The third business I wanted to talk about is our asset management business. We've continuously said that increasing our equity mix and our retail penetration is a very key area of focus for us, and that will drive our growth and will drive our profitability and value. Our equity mix in 2017 was 24%. FY19, that equity mix has grown to 36%. If you look at our investor folios, it has grown from just under 4 million to over 7 million in this two-year period. In fact, during the course of last year alone, we added 1 million folios in terms of investors. So we've really driven the retailization of the asset management portfolio. And as you see, our PBT to AUM, which is a measure of profitability, has increased by almost 50% from 19 basis points in FY17 to 26 basis points in FY19. The fourth business I wanted to talk about is our life insurance business. Again, here we signaled that we were looking to build scale, we were going to look to change the product mix and focus on the quality of our business, all of which would change the valuation and the value of the business that we are running. Our individual FYP, as you see, has grown significantly, just under double between FY17 and FY19. Within that growth, we've actually been able to increase our protection mix from 3% to 6%. And as a result of these two changes and the quality improvements that I spoke about, our net VNB has turned from a negative 5.5% in FY17 to 9.5% in FY19. We continue to see growth in our individual FYP ahead of market. We continue to see opportunity to grow our protection mix from where we are, and therefore we continue to see the opportunity to expand our net VNB margin from the number that we've seen here in FY19. In health insurance, again, a newer business, our focus here was on building scale and building profitable scale through retail, so that we could drive value. As you see here, our GWP has grown by about 10 times between FY17 and FY19, but a bulk of that growth has come from retail, where retail was 5% of our mix in 2017. Retail in FY19 has become 65% of our book. As a result of this scale that we've built and the retailization of our book, our combined ratio has dropped from 283% in FY17 to 149% in FY19. We continue to see large opportunity in this business. We've always said this is an underpenetrated and probably the most underpenetrated segment of financial services. So we see significant and attractive growth in this business, which should continue to mean that you'll see combined ratios coming down. As we've indicated before, we expect this business to break even in 3 years' time at a premium level of between 1,700 to 2,000 crores. Let me now move on to our individual businesses, and I'll start with Aditya Birla Finance, our NBFC, and I'm talking about slide 8. So as you see from this slide, we have a diversified loan book. We've always focused on a diversified loan book. It has several benefits to us in terms of both risk and in terms of return, and I'll talk a little bit about that on the next slide. But as I said earlier, our focus here is on building SME and retail and HNI. That mix grew by 27% year-on-year, while the overall book grew by 20%. As a result of that, the mix of SME and retail has grown from 47% to 50% of the overall book over the course of the year. NIM, I've already referred to, expanded by 37 basis points to 4.91% for the year. Our PBT at 1328 crores grew 26% year-on-year, so greater than the book, loan book growth as a result of the margin expansion that you can see in the book. We maintained our ROE and ROA at roughly last year's levels. ROE specifically was impacted by about 50 basis points on account of two things. One, a lower wealth fee income as a result of both what was happening in the market, as well as regulatory change in terms of upfront commission, which impacted the wealth fee income for the year. And we spoke during the course of the financial year itself in terms of our building our presence in terms of new branches and expanding our sales force so that we could cater to more SMEs and build our retail footprint. The combination of that investment and the lower wealth fee income has been about a 50 basis points impact on our ROE. Moving on to slide 9, this slide shows you a breakdown of our book by different segments that we operate in. I'm not going to go down each of these segments, but I said earlier, diversification has a significant benefit to us because it allows us to pick and choose segments that work from us from a risk return trade-off point of view. And you would have seen that during the course of last year as well, our ability to be able to pass on price increases that we face and to be able to grow and to be able to grow margins is really a function of the multiple segments that we operate in and our ability to pick and choose segments that work best for us from the perspective that we have in mind. Our SME average ticket size is about 7 crores. Our term loans and working capital demand loans are backed by cash flows and security. We have a security cover of average of about 1.7 times. Our retail average ticket size is about 6 lakhs. A LAP, our loan to value, is about 50%. About 85% of the loans we give in LAP are to a borrower's office or own residence, self-occupied residence, which we think enhances the value of the security that we have. And of course, the loan against securities is loan against liquid securities. Slide number 10 gives you a breakdown of our large and mid-corporate book. Not very much changed since the last quarter. So, broadly, term loans and working capital demand loans, we have average ticket size of about 55 crores. This is based on business cash flows along with collateral. We've been doing this now for many years. On the project loan, again, our ticket size is roughly the same as it was last quarter, 100 crores. As I said last quarter, this is a business we've been doing since 2011. We don't typically take any operational risk in terms of project startups. We want to deal with projects that are operational and have visible and clear cash flows. 96% of our exposure is to such projects. Wherever we don't have such exposure, we make sure that we have recourse to a pedigree sponsor, and that's only about 4% of the project loan book. Our structured finance book, again, is roughly the same ATS as last time, I think slightly lower. This is typical structured finance, as you see. There's no real estate in this. I think we often get asked that question whether this is a real estate-based structured finance book. This is not a real estate structured finance book. And construction finance, our average ticket size is about 55 crores. We deal with large borrowers with significant track record. And the actual loan tenure of our book is about 2.5 years. Which is really a testimony to the fact that we are choosing projects where there is velocity of sale of units, and therefore the velocity of sale of units is really what is repaying our loan and allowing us to get a loan tenure of 2.5 years. So I move on to slide number 11. This talks about the quality of our loan book. We've delivered consistent loan book growth over the last many years while maintaining a very strong asset quality. Our secured loan book is more than 80% of our total book, and we are primarily focused on cash flow-based underwriting. Our asset quality continues to remain robust. Our gross stage 3 provisions, excluding ILFS, stood at 1.05% for the year. If you look at ILFS itself, we have a 220 crore exposure to 4 ILFS entities, which are categorized as stage 3 by us, and we provided a 59 crore ECL on the above exposure. Moving on to slide 12, we all know that last year was a year of significant increase in borrowing costs as a result of various things that happened in the market. If you look at our borrowing costs between Q4 FY18 and Q4 FY19, our borrowing costs increased by 40 basis points over this period. But as you see in the bottom chart, our NIM actually increased by more than 40 bps, so it increased by 90 bps. And I think this is a function of three things. One, the change in our product mix towards retail and SME that I spoke about earlier. Second, our ability to pass on borrowing cost increases, and we referred to this in previous investor calls as well, that we believe that if we face cost increases, we will pass it on to our borrowers as well. And third, I think prudent treasury management, which has made sure that our cost increase, in fact, on the borrowing side, has always been well under control. Moving on to slide 13, which talks about our ALM, and our ALM is really optimized for both liquidity and cost. As we've been showing you for a couple of quarters, we today have a cumulative surplus up to a year in terms of time frame from an ALM perspective. This has been done by raising long-term borrowings of over 16,200 crores during FY19. In the second half of FY19 alone, we raised 9,500 crores of long-term borrowings. We raised money from IFC, we raised money in term loans, we raised money through NCDs, and we have some sub-debt as well. Recently, we have a sanction from LIC for 1,500 crores, and therefore we believe that we have adequate liquidity to meet our growth requirements as we go forward. On the right-hand side, you'll look at the sourcing mix and the borrowing mix in terms of instruments of our business. We continue to broad-base our investor profile, just as we broad-base ourselves on the asset side of the balance sheet. We are currently actively pursuing overseas funding through ECBs, which will give us another pool of capital to be able to access and diversify our borrowing even further. If I move on to slide number 14, the financials for the Aditya Birla Finance, these numbers have been with you, so I'm presuming I don't need to run through all the numbers. But broadly for the year, our lending book up 20%, yield up as a result of the measures we spoke about and I took you through a little earlier, and profit before tax up by 26%. Let me now move on to our housing finance company, and I'll start at slide 16. Our housing finance book, lending book grew to 11,500 crores. That's a growth of 40% year on year. Within this, the affordable housing book at 1,500 crores grew from a much lower base, so grew almost four times year on year. This scale increase has obviously led to improvement in cost income ratios. You can see on the slide on the right hand side, our cost income ratio has dropped from 102% in FY17 to 71% in the prior year and 61% in FY19. We continue to maintain a high quality asset book in the housing finance business. Our gross stage 3 is 0.67% of our book and our net stage 3 0.37% of our book. So we think these are high quality assets that we're putting on in the book that we're building. Our FY19 profit before tax grew three times year on year. And Q4 profit was at 41 crores versus prior year number of 13 crores. So clearly a strong growth in the profitability along with the scale benefits that we get from the top line. As you see on the bottom of the right-hand side, we've seen significant improvement in both our ROE and ROA as a result of the improvement in the cost-income ratio and the profitability of the business. Slide number 17 will show you again the basis and the portfolio of our housing finance company. In keeping with our approach of risk-reward ratios and always having a balanced approach, you will see here that we have only about 7% of our book exposed to construction finance. So a large bit of the expansion in profitability and margins that we've seen so far has really been brought about by expansion of home loans, and more specifically affordable home loans, which I'll talk about in a minute. So we think this risk-return trade-off actually works very well for us from a risk perspective. On our loan against property, our average ticket size is about 55 lakhs. We have a loan-to-value there of 46%. And construction finance, typically much lower ticket sizes, as you see on the bottom of this page. On the right-hand side, you'll see how our home loans, prime home loans and affordable home loan mix varies between salaried and non-salaried customers. Our prime home loans are still largely focused on non-salaried customers, which is where we see a very large opportunity to be able to expand. In affordable, we are relatively new. As I said, we just built a book of 1,500 crores over the course of the last 2 years. We have here a much richer mix of salaried customers. We are not dealing with the economically weak sections of society in this book. So our affordable housing book, actually ticket sizes tend to be between 10 and 12 lakhs, not the low single digits that maybe some other affordable home loan players have in their book. So move on to slide number 18. It will show you basically that we have a pan-India distribution network. We are present across the country with a mix that pretty much reflects the GDP breakdown of India. So no real concentration in terms of one geography versus the other. We're now tapping growth in smaller cities through affordable housing, and we'll continue to look to build our distribution network in smaller towns through that. So move on to slide number 19. I think a similar slide to the slide you saw on the NBFC side. Basically here, cost of borrowing increased by about 50 basis points over the course of the year. So costs did go up in our housing finance business as well. But if you look at the slide below, the chart below, you'll see our margins actually expanded by 20 basis points, even though our cost of borrowing went up by 50 basis points. And that's a function of our ability to pass on our borrowing cost increases to our borrowers, as well as the ability for us to be able to change our mix with the growth in affordable housing, which gives us higher margins than the prime home loan business, you know, that we were running prior. If you look at slide number 20, which is our asset liability slide for the housing finance company, a very similar trend to the HFC, to the NBFC. You'll see again that for a year we are cumulatively surplus in terms of ALM. Again, this is being done by raising long-term borrowings of over 4,300 crores, a mix of term loans, NCDs, and recently an NHB refinance sanction. In this book as well, we are pursuing overseas funding to ECB so that we diversify our source of funding and get new pools of capital that we can capitalize on. On the right-hand side, a similar story of broad-basing our investor profile. You'll see that we're looking at multiple sources of being able to raise money to fund the growth of the housing finance company. Slide number 21 will give you the financials of our business. Again, I'm not going to run you through all the numbers here, but as I said earlier, the lending book is up by about 40%. Yield is up as a result of all the measures we've taken, and the profit before tax is up from 34 crores last year to 107 crores in FY18-19. Let me move on now to the third business I want to talk about today, which is our asset management company. In our asset management company, if you look at the equity AUM over the year, it grew by 21% year-on-year, FY19 over FY18. If you take a two-year view, in fact, our equity AUM has grown by 45% versus the industry AUM growth of 38%, so slightly ahead of industry growth on a two-year perspective. Our domestic equity AUM is about 36% now. 2 years ago, this used to be at 24%, so we've grown our mix by about 12% in a book itself that has grown very strongly. Our equity market share at 8.75% continues to be robust, though it's slightly lower than where we were prior year. Within our domestic equity book, SIP accounts for 32%. In the prior year, this used to be 25%, so SIP has become a larger part of our domestic equity book. Our profit before tax at 650 crores grew 24% year-on-year. And as I mentioned earlier, we recorded the highest ever profitability. In fact, in Q4, our PBG to AUM was at 29 basis points. And for the year, as I mentioned earlier, 26 basis points. We continue to win recognition and awards for our performance. We recently won the Morningstar Award for the best fund house at Aditya Birla Sun Life AMC. And we won several awards from Asia Asset Management, Lipper, and many other people who reward fund performance for different time periods and different profiles. Slide number 24 is a focus area for us. We've always spoken about building retail in our asset management company, and I think this the story speaks for itself here. If you look at retail and HNI AUM at 125,000 crores, that is almost grown by 1.5 times between March 17 and March 19. We've focused on penetration into B30 cities, with our AUM now at about 33,300 crores. In fact, B30 now contributes about 34% of our retail AUM. Our investor folios have doubled in 2 years' time from 3.9 million to 7.1 million. And as I mentioned earlier, we have added 1 million folios in FY19 itself. Our monthly SIP book has crossed 1,000 crores and has grown actually double over the last 2 years. So we used to have about 500 crores of SIP book in March 17. That's now about 1,000 crores in March 19. Our SIP market share is about 11.68% for the year. Moving on to slide 25, this will give a sense of the distribution network in the asset management company. I think the basic point on slide on the left-hand side of the slide is that we get more money from IFAs and equity than we do overall. That's a function of different assets and different customers choosing different channels. On the right-hand side of slide 25, you'll see the way we're building out our distribution network. We're present in about 270 locations. We will look to add to that this year, and most of those additions will be in B30 cities. We work currently with about 88 banks, and we're going to increase our presence through tie-ups with both PSU and cooperative banks. We work with over 76,500 IFAs across India, and we will continue to increase our IFA count as we go through the year. We currently deal with over 230 national distributors, and our plan is to continue to grow these, obviously, but along with that, looking at newer digital ecosystems that are coming about and how we can build our presence through those. Slide number 26 will give you the financials of our asset management company. Domestic AUM for the year grew by 8%, equity AUM grew by 21% and profit before tax grew by 24%. So I'll now move on to our life insurance business and start with slide number 28. The life insurance business had a very strong year, both in terms of top line as well as in terms of value creation. So individual FYP grew by 60% year on year. This was significantly higher than industry growth. As you can see from the chart, industry grew by about 9%, the private sector grew by about 12%, and the top four grew by about 7%. So 60% was obviously significantly ahead than market. Group FYP grew by 40% year on year. As we mentioned earlier, our group business is value accretive. As a result of our growth ahead of market, our market share increased by 125 basis points to 4.2%. Our net VNB has grown 3.3 times year on year, and our net VNB margin, as I mentioned earlier, 9.5% versus about 4.3% in the previous year. Our embedded value for the year at 4,900 crores grew by 14.5% year on year. Our EV as of March 31st, 2019 was 4,900 crores. For the previous year was 4,281 crores. A large bit of the outcomes that you've seen on slide 28 are a result of changing our product mix, which is shown on slide 29. So if you look at slide 29, you'll see we've increased our protection mix from about 3% in FY17 to 6.4% in FY19. That's been a big driver of both gross margins as well as net margins. Our gross VNB grew by 57% year on year. Our margin, gross margin for FY19 was just under 35%, 34.6%. Our net VNB margin at 9.5%. So if you look over the last 2 year period from FY17 to FY19, you see a negative 51 turning to a positive 168 crores of net VNB, largely on the back of three things. First, higher volume and greater productivity. Two, a balanced channel mix across our platform. And third, a much stronger product mix that I just spoke about, you know, on the left-hand side of this chart. Slide number 30 will show you our distribution channel. We've seen consistent increase in the contribution of our partnership channel, largely driven by HDFC Bank. The first year of full year operation in HDFC Bank was FY19. Partnerships contributed about 52% of our total FYP for FY19. In HDFC Bank, we are now looking to grow our protection mix, and we launched a new protection product in Q4 of FY19. But the scale that we managed to get through the partnerships allowed us to actually look to create more value in our proprietary channels. And you can see that our channel, extra margins in our proprietary channel have actually increased substantially, both as a result of productivity increases as well as a result of the protection mix changing to 11% versus prior year 5%, and you know, prior to that even lower than that. So the ability to drive product mix changes in the proprietary channel is allowing us to create value in the proprietary channels, even as we build scale across the platform. Slide number 31 talks of the focus on the quality of the business. This has been a key focus for us in this business, and I think the numbers are now showing and speaking for themselves. So if you look at our persistency on the right-hand side, you'll see our persistency, whether 13-month, 25th-month, or 37th-month, have all grown, you know, fairly substantially and fairly attractively. We're focusing on customer retention. Our individual renewal premium grew by 10% year-on-year, FY19 over FY18. We've also focused on surrenders, which was, you know, causing us to lose AUM and lose customers and lose enforced policies. So surrender, the percentage of surrender has come down significantly between FY17 and FY19. We've also focused on improving the claim settlement ratio. We understand this is ultimately the moment of truth for all our customers. Our claim settlement ratio has actually increased from 94.7% in FY17 to 97.2% in FY19. Slide 32, I'll talk about fund performance and assets under management. We're very happy with the quality of fund performance across different asset classes, both over 1 year and 5 year. This becomes important not just for value creation in the traditional products, but also for competitive advantage in the ULIP base that we now compete with in an open architecture format with several banks. On the right-hand side, you see our assets under management have grown by about 10% year-on-year to over 40,000 crores for the first time in our history. Slide number 33 is our MCEV bridge. Basically, you can see our MCEV has moved from 4,281 crores to 4,900 crores. Various factors that have contributed to it. Our ROEV is at 15% and our year-on-year growth of EV is at 14.5%. If any of you have questions on any of these individual items, we can probably take that subsequently. Slide 34 really talks about the sensitivity of our EV and our VNB to various factors. This is something we publish every year. And I think like every year, given the mix that we have, our business is most susceptible to changes in interest rates, but not that susceptible because as you see, 100 basis points increase in interest rates has only about a 4% impact on our EV. Slide number 35 gives our key financials, pretty much a repeat of what I've just said. Very strong growth in individual first-year premium, a strong growth in our group first-year premium, strong growth in our renewal premium, all of which has meant a 27% growth in our total gross premium. Strong cost control across the platform and improvement in quality, which has basically allowed us to be able to keep our profit before tax steady in a year that we've actually invested significantly in building our HDFC bank distribution. FY18-19 is the first year we're paying tax in the life insurance company. So a 24 crore tax bill for the first time in our life insurance business as we've now wiped out our accumulated losses. I'll move now to slide number 37, which is our health insurance company, one of our younger businesses and very fast growing business. Here our gross premium grew by 2 times and we now cover about 2.3 million lives in our health insurance business. What is interesting is our retail GWP mix is about 65%. It's almost double. It's grown from 37% last year to 65% this year. We built rapidly our distribution, and I'll talk about that in a subsequent slide. We also focused significantly on claims. Obviously, that's a big area of focus in any health insurance company. Our retail claims ratio is at 47%, and if you look at our overall claims ratio for FY19, that's at 72% versus 94% in FY18. Our combined ratio at 129% for Q4 is significantly lower than where it is for the full year, which is 149%, which basically means we're trending well and trending to the guidance we've been giving the market, which is that we're looking to break even in 3 years at an indicative level of GWP of 1,700 to 2,000 crores in this business. Slide number 38, we'll talk about the distribution that I just referred to. We believe we today have one of the largest third-party distribution capacities in the health insurance industry. We have 10 banker tie-ups within 2 years of operation. We've already spoken about HDFC before, but we've now signed up with Axis Bank as well, and Axis Bank is going live in Q1 of FY20. So we have two really large bank partners with us on the health insurance side. We still believe that there's obviously a large ability to grow our capacity utilization in the bank networks, and that should give us significant upside potential in terms of top line. Banker contribution is clearly increasing with the number of banks that we have. Our banker channel has grown 7 times year on year in terms of retail GWP. Along with our distribution network, we also built one of the largest provider networks. We've tied up with over 5,800 hospitals across 800 cities. That serves us very well as we deal with banks that are national in nature because their customers will be in areas that will require these hospitals to be able to serve them. Slide number 39 really talks about what is different about us in our health insurance business and what is driving the growth that we're talking about. There are four real differentiators that I'll call out on the left-hand side of this slide. The first is our customer value proposition. We believe we are the industry's first incentivized wellness and chronic management program built with a lot of IP that we've got from our South African partner. As a result of that, we have a younger customer base. Our average age of our customers is about 5 years younger than the industry average. That's one big driver of the lower claims ratio that I spoke about earlier. Second, if you look at distribution scale and quality, we have a multi-distribution strategy, and our focus is really on deepening our banker relationships. Our 10 banker partners contribute over 50% to our retail GWP in the last year. Our customer engagement model is very different to our competition. We think this industry is really around a buy and forget kind of product, whereas our product proposition and model is really around buying and engaging with customers. And this is borne out by the fact that 40% of our customers have actually initiated their health journey with us and continue to measure and progress their health journey, along with the program that we've built for them. We have significant benefits in terms of our health risk assessment and our customer engagement, which result ultimately in financial benefits, which show by a combined ratio that has consistently been declined from the time we started this business. On the right-hand side of slide 39, we're just showing you broadly where other people would have been in the second year of launch that they have had. So five of our peers who are standalone health insurers, in the second year of their operation, what kind of GWP and retail GWP and combined ratio they would have had versus what we have. As you can see, we have one of the fastest growing retail franchises in this business. Slide number 40 will again talk about the growth through value in this business. And I'm talking about three contributors to value creation in our health insurance business. Retail over institutional and group. As you can see, retail has grown from 6% of my mix to 65% of our mix. So clearly much richer retail mix, which drives value. Non-metros tend to be more profitable than metros. Non-metros now account for 35% of our business versus 8% in FY17. And fixed benefit tends to be one of our higher margin products. That has grown now to 19% of our total GWP versus being 2% back in FY17. So our value creation will really follow the following vectors. And as we keep growing these, we continue to see the opportunity to create value. Slide number 41. We'll give you the financials, strong numbers across the board, as I just mentioned, strong growth in retail premium, strong growth in total gross written premium, and profit before tax slightly higher as a result of the growth that we've put on in the health insurance business. Let me now move on to slide number 43, which talks about our other financial services business. Basically, for the full year, the other financial services businesses lost about 10 crores. We have a general insurance business that's grown well. Profit before tax there was impacted slightly due to margin compression led by regulatory changes in the motor insurance space, but it's still a profitable business. And our stock and securities business again has grown 39% year on year. Here we're again focusing largely on digital because we think that's where this industry will ultimately grow. I'll end with slide number 44, which talks of our aggregate PBT, and it breaks up our PBT in a slightly different way to the way we presented it so far. Because what it does is it takes first on a 100% basis our profitable businesses and tells you what our PBT is on these businesses. That PBT has grown by 26% year on year. The largest contributor obviously being the NBFC at 1328 crores. But we create almost 2255 crores of profit from our profitable businesses in FY18-19. And then we have the investments that we're making in some of our new businesses that you see below the line. So health insurance, we've invested about 257 crores. All of these are pre-minority, so these are all 100% basis. So health insurance, we've invested about 257 crores in FY18-19 to build this business. That obviously reduces our profitability. We have some interest cost as a result of our capital structure. We have branding and marketing as we look to build Aditya Birla Capital brand. And then we have the other businesses and eliminations that takes out another 77 crores. So our profit before tax, pre-minority, after investing in some of the new businesses that we're building, is just under 1,800 crores. But I think this gives you a good sense of the trajectory of growth of the profitable businesses that we have and where they could be as some of these businesses and as some of these expenses that you see in the bottom line start changing. I think you should see a very different earnings profile to the one that you see currently. So I will stop at this point and be very happy to take any questions that you have. I'm joined here by my senior team, CEOs and CFOs from all our businesses. So they'll be very happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shiv Kumar from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, the total exposure to ILFS has been given as 220 crores. But I believe last quarter it was around 388 crores, right? So has there been any sell-down of the exposure?
No. See, we still have 388 crores of exposure, but the balance is what is called a green asset. It's regular paying, and it's a regular asset from our perspective. So we don't have to make an ECL provision against it.
And this 220 crores, there has been a default in this. That's why you have recognized this as Stage 3 asset and made a provision?
No, there's been a moratorium, as you know. The NCLT has put a moratorium on ILFS assets. So there's no both what they call red and amber assets, there is no servicing of those assets. So we've created a provision against them. We've treated it as Stage 3 and we've created a cumulative provision of 27% against that.
I see. But are you still confident that you should be able to receive all the exposure to these four entities, right?
We've got exposure largely to operating SPVs that we believe are still doing well. We have two roads, we have a power plant, and we therefore think that the assets continue to be of good quality. So I think once the resolution happens, we are hopeful that we will receive our money.
Right. Sir, and with regards to the construction finance exposure at both the NBFC and the housing finance arm, are you seeing any early signs of stress given the media reports that some of the big real estate companies are facing liquidity crunch?
No, at least in our book, we're not seeing any sign of that.
Okay. Currently, both the entities have zero NPS from construction finance. Can you say that?
Yes.
Okay. And what's your guidance with respect to the AUM growth of the NBFC?
Can I just, because we have a long line of questions, can I just request that we get
sure.
our people on?
Sure, I'll join the queue. Thank you.
You can come back, sir. I'll answer your questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhukar Lada from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. When I look at your asset management business, I think until 2Q FY19, you were reporting other income as a separate line item. And from 3Q, you started, I think, reclassified other income in revenues itself. So can you give me the other income amount for 3Q and 4Q in that business? And also for 3Q FY18? Hello.
Yes, one second.
It's 29 and 25 in Q3 and Q4.
29 and 25. 3Q and 4Q.
Yeah. So what, 90 for the year, sir? 80 for the year. So full year is about 80 crores.
Full year is 80 crores.
And 180 crores.
80 crores, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not 180, 80 crores.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And last year the same amount was how much?
Madhu, can I give you the numbers offline? Is it okay?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So how are the new TR regulations now impacting us? What are we seeing? Are we being able to pass on the TR cuts to distributors?
Basically what we are doing is the one is coming effect from the TSR. Almost about 90% of the reduction in the TER, we plan to give it to the distribution community. Roughly about 10% is the hit that we will take, which is roughly about 3 to 3.5 basis points kind of hit that we will take. On the reduction in the overall TER, the overall reduction in TER is roughly about 18 basis points.
Got it, sir. Okay, one question on the life insurance side. In the MCEV walk, I see minus 488 crores on expense gap. Can you explain that item?
Expense gap is basically what my pricing allows in terms of expenses and what we are actually incurring. So it's different between the pricing allowances and the actual expenses.
So the gross VNB has the pricing assumption. And then you adjust for actual experience through the expense gap.
Okay, just correct my understanding if it is wrong, we would build in the net VNB in our EV. And then if we have a negative expense gap, it would mean that our operating expenses are running higher than what we expected them to be. Am I correct on this, or is there some other interpretation?
So the net VNB is the gross VNB minus the expense gap.
Okay. But then is this expense gap is for the business written this year, first year business?
This is the new business acquisition expense gap.
This is the new business acquisition expense.
Yes.
Understood. So the gross VNB is added to the EV and then... Okay.
Thank you, Madhukar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Saha from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. I think we have lost Abhishek. We'll move to the next question. That is on the line of Nischint Chauhate from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Two questions from my side. One is, first of all, on the life side, you know, how many branches of HDFC Bank do you currently do business from? And if you could give any sense in terms of, you know, what trajectory are we looking at for the next year?
So we actively source business from all the branches of HDFC Bank as of now, excluding the rural branches they have, where we haven't yet put our people. So practically we are traversing all the channels and all the geographies.
So would it be fair for me, I mean, obviously this year has been a growth of, a year of very high growth. Should we kind of continue to build this growth for the next 1 or 2 years, or would we kind of say that this possibly, you know, grows at a moderate pace from here on?
No, I think we will continue to see one more year at least of strong growth. I mean, we look at it at the end of the year, but I think this year again should be significantly ahead of industry growth.
Sure. Just on the NBFC side now, I guess over the last 2 years, the share of wholesale loans has reduced from around 56% to 50%, and I think now it's down to around 47% or so. So how does this really, and I guess, you know, going forward, the retail book will kind of keep on growing. So how does that really change the overall ROA of around 1.9%? I know you don't give a segmental sort of a DuPont, but any color on that would be appreciated more from a modeling point of view.
We have expanded our retail and SME mix from 47% to 50% over the last year, and we expect that this should improve further by 3 to 5% over the next financial year. In terms of ROA, what we are looking at 2% ROA for the current financial year, and then this should further and ROMW of 14.5% or so. And this should improve as we keep improving our product mix from retail and SME. You will see an expansion of both the ROA and the ROMW.
Sure. And on the leverage side, how should we think about this?
So our leverage has been at around 5.7, 5.8 in that range. And we want to continue in that range.
Sure. Great. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhranshu Mishra from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. The first one was with respect to your construction finance book. Wanted to understand what is the split between construction finance and LRD over there, and what is the geographic split between NCR, how much of exposure to NCR assets and how much of exposure to MMR assets?
So if you look at our construction finance overall portfolio, is a very small part of our entire NBFC portfolio. So it's only 7% of our construction finance is there out of the total 51,000 crores.
Right.
And we have been very, very selective on this segment in terms of we do business with most of all the developers who have great track record in terms of execution, delivery, and as Ajay had mentioned earlier, in terms of the sales velocity of these projects. In terms of, we do business in top 5-6 cities for this business. We don't go down to tier 2-3, primarily Bangalore, Pune, Mumbai. Some bit is in NCR, but very small exposure is in NCR, and that too primarily in Noida, where the unit price is in the range of 50-60 lakhs and where the sales velocity is pretty decent. So that's what the update on the construction finance.
And we saw construction finance and LRD separately if you look at the chart. So there's no LRD in construction finance. LRD is shown separately.
Right.
LRD is backed by the renters of the category A corporates. So that's how we really look at that business.
Okay. Sure, sir. And wanted to understand, in your HFC business, what is the FOIR for your housing loans?
FOIR will be 60 to 65% should be the FOIR.
Couldn't hear you. Can you say that? 60 to 65.
60 to 65.
Right, sir. Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Saraf from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So just on
NBFC, sir, can you be a bit louder, sir? Not able to hear you.
Yeah, I had a question on the NBFC business. So I wanted to understand, means we have definitely had a very impressive name expansion this quarter. So just wanted to take a sense that is it largely driven by a product mix change, or have we seen, means we have raised pricing across different products? And in terms of product mix change, means are we kind of getting into a means different kind of product segment as such, so in order to have a higher yield on an overall basis? And secondly, just a continuation on that, in terms of cost of fund, so obviously we had a lower cost of fund for fourth quarter. What is the trend that we have witnessed in the current quarter? Is that trend sustaining?
So the expansion in terms of margin, if you look at, is 30 basis point in quarter four over quarter three. That's driven primarily by lower cost of funds of 10 basis points in quarter four. Also, as you rightly mentioned, change in product mix. We had some repricing of where we could not do it earlier, so there would be a lag impact of the repricing, and some bit of fees as well. To address your second part of the question in terms of which segment we are getting in, if you look at our 80% plus, our portfolio is secured in nature, but over the last 2-3 years, we are expanding into the retail segment, and there we are building unsecured personal loans and unsecured business loans. And that should help us drive our margins as we go along.
So just on the unsecured part, so what are the, because it's good to have a higher yielding asset, but since these are unsecured, so what are the risk guardrails that we are ensuring? That means probably means, say, let's say 1 year, 2 year down the line, we don't face any asset quality concerns on these.
So we have been in this business for the last 3 years now, and the average tenor of these loans are anywhere between 15 to 18 months. We look at the cash flows of these SMEs or the micro SMEs. We assess them, their repayment capability. We look at their credit track record. And that's how we really give them loans. In terms of, if you look at, yes, it will be slightly higher than the secured business and secured assets, but it's priced for risk. So clearly, we don't see anything disproportionate risk being built up, because I think today also our unsecured portfolio is a very small part of our overall book.
Sure enough, sir. So one last thing on this. So this is basically given to SMEs and micro SMEs. These are not personal loans as such, right?
There is personal loans also. So personal loans is given to the salaried employees, and business loans is given to the SME and the micro SME.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And just would you want to share your guidance on what growth we are targeting? Because right now, means this year we ended at 20%. So are we going to be a bit calibrated on growth, given what the environment that we are right now in, for particularly for NBFCs?
Yeah. So we look at a growth of in the range of 20 to 25%. That's the range which we are looking at.
Okay. And one question on life insurance business. So if you can just, this year obviously we had a very kind of supernormal growth of around 60-odd%, and now base being a bit higher. So what is the kind of growth we are looking in the life insurance business for this year now?
We are expecting about 30% growth in the business this year.
30% growth? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And one, so we have launched the product in HDFC Bank, with HDFC Bank. So is it largely credit life or is it a retail life product we have launched?
No, this is only retail. Our protection does not include credit life. We're only talking about individual life.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Patel from Bhavish Investments. Please go ahead. Chirag Patel, your line is unmuted. You may please go ahead. Seems there's no response from the line. We will move to the next question. That is from the line of Piran Engineer from Motilal Oswal Securities Limited.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening and congrats on the quarter. Most of my questions have been answered, but I just had a couple of clarifications. So last quarter we sold down 2,000 crores. Have we done any sell downs this quarter?
So about 750 to 800 crores of sell down and syndication in Q4.
Okay, and as per Ind AS, do we recognize the assignment income upfront? The reason I'm asking is that I'm just trying to understand what led to, you know, the sharp improvement in yield. I guess that we've moved more towards retail, but given the fact that most of our loans are fixed rate loans, in one quarter to get this big improvement, so I'm just trying to guess if there's any one-off income.
No. So there's no one-off income. I think although you say it's fixed rate, we have the ability to reset.
No.
And I think the reset has been happening over a period of time.
And almost all our portfolio is on the variable rate loan. So it's not fixed in nature. Apart from the small ticket retail loans, which are fixed over a 2-3 years period, the entire SME, corporate, everything is floating in nature. So we have the ability to pass it on to our customers.
But in corporate, things like structured finance or construction finance are also all floating, is it?
All floating.
Okay, great. And just one clarification. So the 220 crores of ILFS, is it red or amber?
So there's a mix of both.
Okay.
We have one red and three amber split?
One red and three amber. Okay, cool. That's it from my end. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Giriraj Daga from KM Vasarya Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, team. Just two questions from my side. First, on the capital. So what is the capital plan and what is the equity deployment we are looking in our businesses? So last year, if I look at, we deployed some about 899 crore and that we raised from the debt market. So what is the number, capital employment we are looking in the subsidiaries, and what is the plan for that? And second, I have a query on the bookkeeping question, slide number 43. If you look at the loss, we are about 10 crore in other businesses, but if you add up the general insurance, broking and securities, we are positive of about 41 crore. So there is some other element of 51 crore. Can you just explain that? What is that?
Yeah, so I'll answer both the questions. I think as far as the fundraise is concerned, like you said, we've invested about 800 crores this year in our businesses. I think the investment will broadly be the same in the current year. As you know, we've got an enabling resolution to raise money at the holding company level, equity at the hold co, and we will at the appropriate time look to do that during the course of this year. As far as your slide number 43 question is concerned, if you look at the footnote, it says that there are two other businesses along with that are included in the minus 10, and the numbers only talk about two businesses. So basically the other two businesses contributed to that loss.
Can you tell me the number which were lost, other two?
That is 51, right? So private equity plus online personal finance is 51.
Okay, and just a follow-up there. In case if you don't believe the opportunity right and to raise equity capital, would you be open to diluting at a subsidiary level or no?
No, that's not our plan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any participants who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. We'll take the follow-up question from the line of Abhishek Saraf from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. So it seems we have lost the line for Abhishek. A reminder to our participants, anyone who wish to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Parthiv Chonsa from NVS Brokerage. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir.
Yes, please go with the question.
Yeah, Parthiv, go ahead.
Yeah. A lot of my questions have been answered, but I was just going through the presentation once again, and I see a couple of cumulative outflows more than cumulative inflows in a couple of businesses. So can you just cite the reason, like how the company plans to, what's the company strategy for that?
Which slide are you referring to?
So slide number, this is slide number 28.
20? 20.
Especially for 1 to 5 years, between 1 to 5 years.
Yeah, so this is normal ALM management, right?
Yeah, the normal ALM management. Just wanted to know the company's strategy on it. That's it.
Yeah, so we will continue to raise long-term money. Therefore, as these monies become account, as these monies become due, we will replace them with longer-term money and other forms of money that will fund the outflows.
Okay, and so I just missed one thing. I guess you told that the health insurance would break even approximately in 3 years' time, right?
That's right.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question as the last question from the line of Romit Tamesh from Pantomath. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, your cost of borrowing has fallen this quarter. Do you expect it to go down from here, or you expect it to be at this level going forward?
So it should be in this range. It might go up by 10-15 basis points as we raise long-term funding. It might go up by another 10-15 basis points.
And do you think this whole NBFC crisis that has happened, is it past us, or do you think there's still some lingering effects that are there in the system?
So I think we can only speak for ourselves. I think we are focused on the liability side, making sure we raise adequate liabilities to be able to fund our growth. And that's what you've seen through our presentation through last year. We continue to look to raise long-term money and through diverse sources. That's our approach.
Sir, in the home finance book, do you find it a little more risky in terms of the non-salaried segment, which is quite a major part of our book in the home finance?
See, the risk comes with return, right? And the risk is mitigated by our ability to underwrite these customers in a way of being able to estimate their income and be able to estimate their repayment period. And if you look at the quality of the book that we built, so obviously we have a decent underwriting process that allows us to get that sorted. So the difference between self-employed and salaried is the assessment of income. And that is what we put into place since the time we started this business. Rakesh,
no, and we built this assessment methodology in NBFC, and we have now for the last 8-9 years we have been doing the SME lending, which is, this one is very similar to that. It's a self-employed businessman who is taking the money to buy a house.
Okay, right, sir, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much for joining us for this earnings call, and thank you very much for your interest and your questions. If there are any questions that have been left unanswered by any chance, or you have follow-up questions, please feel free to write in to Pramod Bora. He'll be very happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, for any further queries, you may contact Mr. Pramod Bora, Investor Relations team. Thank you. On behalf of Aditya Birla Capital Limited, we conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.